touch. It can come out of the world for my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul and Laura with Torah Life Ministries. We're glad to be here making another video. And the last video we made was about modesty and our dress standards for our house and our fellowship. And we got a very agreeable reply from many people. One person brought up in a topic that's very important that I wanted to discuss, and I definitely wanted Sister Laura here to discuss this with us. And the comment basically said that what we spoke about was important, but of course, there's another side to it, which is men and women learning to give up lust through the power of Yahshua. So that's what I want to talk about today, because why is modesty so important, and what play does lust have in it? So this is what I want to discuss, and I think it's an important topic, and We're gonna look at this and talk about this. And we have to be real and understand that if lust wasn't an issue, would our Creator even care about the modesty issue? You see, when Adam and Eve were naked, they didn't know they were naked. And then when they got the knowledge, they realized they were naked. But they didn't stay naked. They realized they were naked and they tried to cover up, but they didn't really try to cover up. And then Yahweh covered them with tunics. He didn't want Adam to see Eve naked and Eve to see Adam naked. And they were even husband and wife. And that was very interesting. There were no other people around, supposedly. So why would he do something like that? Who's going to lust after who? So how far have we come since then if just one man and one woman are there and Yahweh's concerned about lust over just a husband and a wife? And then look where we are today. So Sister Laura here grew up in a Muslim faith. And you hear modesty is really not debatable in the Muslim faith because people are dressing modest. In the scriptural times, in the first couple of centuries, times of Yeshua, most people dressed modest. And if somebody dressed immodest, they were often considered a prostitute or something to do like that. So what about lust? And does lust only have to do with physical appearance, or does it have to do with money and other things and so on? So as your background and growing up, you know, I know a lot of Christian men out there, even pastors, fall to the temptation of lust through pornography and so on. But what about Islam? Do Islam teachers and men of the Islam faith or women of the Islam faith, are they known to struggle with pornography as much as other men of the world? Because the modest women are dressing modestly. Are their eyes going towards the worldly women, or do they have control over this issue more?
It depends on the person, I guess. The thing with Islam, it does teach to lower your gaze. When you do see the opposite sex, no matter how they're dressed, actually, more so if they are dressed immodestly. And Islam actually teaches a lot of modesty, more so because they teach that women are the weakness for men, and so they stress very much so to look away. So, I mean, I'm sure with any culture or religion, there are men or women who struggle with lust, but I know that most Muslim men do look away. They wouldn't even talk to another woman unless it's a wife. So,
well, and it is an individual thing.
Yep.
Because there are certainly individual circumstances and the way people are brought up and so on. So it is an individual thing. Some people say to me, well, if you have the spirit of Yahweh and you're feeling great, you won't have issues with lust. And I don't agree with that, because in the Bible, we look at King David himself, and he lusted over seeing a woman in the window, and he committed adultery and murder over that lust and that passion and so on. Gazing away is something I would highly recommend. for men to do. I know that there's a CD that we listen to that we like. It's called Eyes of Holiness. I've been listening to it a very long time. And the author describes it as a picture that's in a man's mind when he sees a woman. And unlike a hard drive or a computer where you can just press one button and erase that picture, you can't simply do that from your mind. When a man sees certain things, they stay in his mind. And that image will stay with him for a very long time. And I know that there are some women I've looked at in my life when I was much younger, even a little kid growing up. And if it was out of the norm, I would be interested in it, just to be like, wow, that's not normal. But if it had something to do with something I would consider today immodest, you know, it's not easy to let go of these images to begin with. And this is from like when I was a kid or a little child. But now as a grown man, it's more challenging, even more challenging in this world we live in. We live in a society where most people are immodest. What about women? Do women have this same struggle? Do the pictures stay in their minds? Because I'm hearing more and more women. Some women have told me they have lustful thoughts about men that they see on the street. I mean, is this common? I mean, what about that you know of from women you speak to?
None that I've actually spoken to have that struggle. I'm not sure. I think it's just an individual thing. However, me personally, I thank Yahweh, I don't have that struggle or issue. I go to an extent of not even like caring to look at another man. So it's definitely not a struggle for me, maybe for other women, but not that I'm aware of.
Sure. I have a lot of people contact me. And like I said, some men and some women have expressed to me over the years how they struggle with this topic. And as we said, it's an individual thing, but it's also, is it really a maturity thing? Because a lot of people in scriptures that were supposedly mature believers that got into big trouble for this reason. And this really does need to be addressed. And a lot of people today discuss topics of prophecy and what happens after we die and all these other topics. But a lot of people are afraid to talk about topics like this. When it says in the scripture we should confess our sins to one another, and it's to lift ourselves and others up. It's not to tear us down, and we have to be open and admit we have a struggle. And I know there are some of you out there that are struggling, and you know we need to overcome. I know that the more modest I came in my thinking for my own life, the less thoughts I would have that were impure. So when I was younger, growing up, and very immodest in my lifestyle and my thinking, and in my undressing, not my dressing, not my attire, but my unattire, because I used to walk around a lot in an immodest way, the easier it was for my eye to wander. But the more I became so strongly in a feeling of dressing modestly, it helped me to not have a wandering eye. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it definitely made a big difference. And this is why I always recommend modesty isn't only for women. It's going to help men as well. Because I believe there's something there that says, look, on the CD we heard women. Do you want your man to look at other women? And then he said, well, then why do you dress in a way that creates other men to look at you? You know, a lot of men say, well, I want my wife to be beautiful and so on. Well, you know, there's modestly beautiful, but then there's the worldly beautiful. And, you know, if you think your wife is sexy, so to say,
everybody, if
everyone sees her in the same way, they'll think the same thing. There's only certain times that she should dress that way in your appearance, in your atmosphere, not in other men's and so on. And so I do think there's like, that same, I don't want to call it a law of nature, an unspoken thing that says, you know, if men are dressing more modestly, they're acting more modestly and gazing down or looking away. Sometimes if I go to the beach, 95% of the times I have a baseball cap on. You know, just to have my cap down, it helps me not see in front of me of all the things I shouldn't be seeing. And we learn these things. And, you know, so now about women, women love attention. They do love attention. And a lot of women don't care where or the source of that attention. They just want attention. And I remember 1 year I was at a Sukkot, and it was a woman with long hair, and really long hair, and she was rolling around and shaking it around and so on. And she was having problems with her husband. Her husband wasn't at that Sukkot. And she said to me, you know, I'm having issues with my husband and so on. And I just told her, well, maybe, you know, there's a connection between, you know, the way you're dressing and the way your appearance is. And maybe if you just wore your hair up or covered it, or maybe if you just dressed a little bit more modest, maybe that'll help. Maybe there's something to that. And so now she had a choice. As I said, there is a certain attraction that will make men's eyes wander if you're walking a certain way. It might not even be how you dress. Maybe you walk in a certain way, but if you're playing with your hair a certain way and so on. So now this one, I said, there's an attention getter. It's an attention getter. And not from a positive standpoint. Unfortunately, I saw her the next day sitting in the middle of the big square that they, you know, and just even worse than she was the day before. She listened. She realized that, hey, this is what's going to get attention, and she wanted to obviously attract a man, and she did. And the story didn't turn out well, but we have to know our motives. I think when it comes to the lustful side of things, we have to know our motives, and we have to understand about, I think it's really important, spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan knows our weaknesses.
Yep.
And you know, we have to choose the side of Yahweh and realize that, you know, we're going to win if we follow his instructions. But if we give in to, we're not giving into lust, we're giving into Satan. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a struggle. It's a valid struggle that doesn't justify it. But the first thing is to confess we have an issue. And I think inwardly we need to just really focus on ourselves and be more modest in our lifestyles. And that'll help us be more modest.
Yeah.
Out of our lifestyles. Yeah. Someone once told me they wear a yarmulke and they wear a prayer shawl and they wear tzitzits, and it makes them feel more holy. Mm-hmm. And they act more holy when they do that. As of if they were walking around in a tank top, they wouldn't feel the same way.
And I know many, sorry to interrupt, but like many niqabis who wear the face veil, they say that going to the extent of wearing the whole face veil makes them feel more holy and therefore then be holy as well. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there.
And as well, you know, a lot of women that do wear the
niqab,
I've seen the interviews with them where they would say, well, they want to be spoken to and mm-hmm. not just looked at, you know, in a certain way. And a lot of people will not really fully understand this. So another one is like, so how we're dressing and so on. So when women put on high heels, they act a different way. You know, it's a feeling. It puts a different kind of, puts your body in a different, maybe to attract the wrong type of attention, let's say. And I know a lot of people watch and say, well, men got to get their minds out of the gutter and so on. And I often say, well, women got to stop dressing like they're in the gutter. But it's not only a male issue. It's a female issue as well. And I'm hearing more and more reports that more and more females struggle with pornography, and even just as much as men. And it might sound surprising, possibly maybe because I do a health show and I've studied this. There's a lot more hormones in the food today, and the hormones of men are acting with too much estrogen in their food and their diet. They're acting literally more sensitive and feminine, but women, they're eating who knows what, but they're acting more like the male aspect, masculine, and it just their eyes are wandering and so on. And it's not only men looking at women and women looking at men. I would say that a big part of the lust out there today is the homosexual community, mm-hmm. and men for men and women for women. You know, so lust isn't excluded to men and women. And again, this is Satan. This is really messed up. And if you're a true believer that's struggling with this, you need to understand that Satan's trying to take you away from Yahweh. You know, he doesn't care about you. He wants to destroy you and everything around you. That's what the word says. But this, you know, I mean, I've confined in men. I've had men come to me and tell me they struggle with they like men and they have lustful thoughts about men. And it's a real situation, you know, but at the same time, it's the same solution. We have to go to Yahweh in prayer, and we really need to try to be consistent in what we're doing. But we need to remember that the eyes are the windows to just our brain and let things in. And when we see certain things we shouldn't be seeing, I read a book a long time ago about, what was the name of that book, but about men, Every Man's Battle. Every Man's Battle was one of the first books I've ever read about the struggle that men have. And this man talking about, he would struggle with every time he would come home from work, he'd see a big billboard with a very attractive woman on the billboard. So literally, to overcome the problem, he would take a different route home from work, which is even longer than the route he than his other route, just to avoid seeing that. Because it's easy to say, just don't look. But it's easier said than done, because if it's right there, and this is something maybe some women can't understand, but if it's right there, it's easier said than done. And you know, maybe he's not looking, but maybe he turns away and there's a new billboard up or something. It's a, quite a challenge for men. But Every Man's Battle, that's a great book I would definitely recommend people get.
That's pretty good, too, that he'd take a different route just to sort of avoid it and, like, stay away from it. So that's pretty good. Like, flee from the devil and he will flee from you. So that's pretty...
Exactly. That's a great way to put it, you know, fleeing from the devil. And but here's the real question. Who are you accountable to? You know, who are you accountable? When you get married, often you say, well, you know, now I'm in a monogamous relationship. I'm accountable to my spouse, so I can't look at certain things or do certain things that I've done before. But even prior to being married, or even after you're married, before you're accountable to your spouse, you're accountable to our Creator. And Satan is trying to take you away. So it's Satan or Yahweh. And so we need to realize this, and hopefully it'll help us in our weaknesses and make us stronger. So it's not a bad or evil or wicked thing to struggle with lust. And the enemy wants you to give into it. And I want everyone that's watching right now to know that, you know, you can overcome this. And everything can be overcome. And but, you know, the world, the way it is today, it's just, we live here in South Florida, and it's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah, it is. And I just, you know, even television, I don't watch television anymore, but even the internet, it's just like anything goes, you know. And
there's ads in that as well, like especially on YouTube too.
Absolutely, absolutely. One thing I've pretty much doing pretty much now, not 100%, but a lot more now, is I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news because I don't believe in a lot of the stuff. I listen, I'll click on a page, and if I see my name in there, I'll say, I must look at this and see what's going on here. But Yahoo is where I would get a lot of my news in the past. But I really have gotten away, or I'm getting away from looking at Yahoo at all. Because in every single Yahoo page, and you can test this out for yourself, every single one, they have some woman in a bikini. It's usually a Hollywood star. They're like, oh, this Hollywood star is doing this or in modest clothing. Every single time you click, you'll see something like that in there. And you know what's really interesting? For those of you that are struggling, I don't know if you knew this, but the internet, they know who's watching. So they know if you're a male or a female. So you might not have noticed that, because maybe for the females, they don't have that. It's amazing how they know it. Even on your phones, they listen to things and they know who's around. So you could just say, oh, it's getting cold out, I want a new coat. And next thing you know, you're getting ads for coats. Well, if you're a male speaking, and the enemy's behind this, if you're a male speaking, you'll start seeing ads pop up with women in them. And if you're a woman speaking, you'll probably see ads pop up with shoes and purses in them. Who knows? But it's the enemy. We have to know it's the enemy. And so how do you recommend, you know, people, especially maybe children growing up like to avoid this in this crazy world, because some people say, well, what am I supposed to never leave my house or anything?
Yeah, exactly. I think it'll be somewhat easy to raise future kids, maybe not, or having them not watch TV, or, you know, unless it's, you know, scripture related. But I know that many people now, even children from a young age, are brought up to have tablets or iPhones or, you know, iPads and all the rest. So they're kind of into all, I mean, I don't want to say into all the perversity, but they are sort of more open to receiving all of that stuff. So I think we need to, at least for children, monitor what they are watching or what they're reading and all the rest. But yeah, I don't know.
I think it's definitely something that it should be discussed between children and their parents, and the type of friends children have is really important, and their parents. You know, you don't want your children going over to houses where their parents are just not doing the things you don't want your children to do. But it's not only a issue with younger kids, because with adults even as well, we got to decide who we decide to be around, and you know, some, and it's not only an immodesty thing, as we were saying. There are other things people can lust over, but it's immodesty is the biggest one, or the flesh is the biggest one. And a lot of people struggle with this today. There was a movie with Kirk Cameron years ago. I forget the name, but in the movie he struggled with pornography and so on. And then it was a very interesting movie, and, you know, he finally, supposedly at the end, threw his computer out the window and possibly overcame it, I think. But it was eye-opening. And some of you are watching it like, what are they talking about? You know, if you don't struggle, you're like, how could people struggle with this? Just don't look. But it is a real issue, and there are a lot of people that struggle with it. So it's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this, because somebody asked us to, but also to take it to Scripture. Remember Scriptures. The Scriptures will really help you in those times. When Yeshua was tempted in the Scriptures, he used Scripture to drive Satan away. And so that's what, you know, so think about Scriptures, and think about spiritual warfare that's going on, and think about, you know, how Yeshua was victorious in what he was doing with Satan, and when Satan tried to tempt him. I also think often about Joseph, you know, how he ran. He didn't try to fight it. He ran when he was being seduced. It's a very important thing, you know, for people to understand. And now the whole idea of what lust actually is, that's another topic open for discussion, because I've heard.
Do another video?
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, what is lust, or what's just, you know, not really lust or lustful thoughts. It might be labeled something else. So I don't want everyone to get depressed thinking you struggle with lust, because not necessarily, maybe you don't. Maybe you just have an issue with something else or something. And so, you know, it's good to define this and kind of get a good understanding of where these things are. But I think it's definitely important. I think modesty is an important first step. And yeah, and as a man, I want to do my best to be in environments where there's as less temptation as possible, and it excites me. When I was going to the amusement park as a little child, I remember my father took me on the bump-up cars. I don't know if you have those where you're from, but she's from another country. But have you heard of bump-up cars? Okay, so the idea everyone thinks is to bump into another car. And my dad said, try not to bump anyone or get bumped. And I said, well, what fun is that? You know, he said, well, you know, it's more challenging, but, you know, it creates a challenge or so on. So in this world today where people are diving into these environments where there's so much immodesty, I try to avoid it. I really try to avoid it. And it's sin is contagious, and lust is contagious. And so we need to, you know, we do enough stuff to try to avoid catching certain things. Well, let's not catch a lustful eye. And so don't be around it, and you know, call it out. And I remember somebody once said, and this, I'll leave you with this, and then maybe you can comment before we end. Somebody said to me once, when you believe in something, make a stand so strong for it that you can never go back, even if you wanted to. And that left a lasting impact on me because, you know, with the way I've been and the things I've said and the videos I've made, even if my flesh wanted to turn back, it'd be very difficult to do so because I've been so outspoken on this topic. But in all seriousness, it's a real issue. People struggle. If you are struggling, I'm happy to pray with you and talk to you if you're a man. If you're a woman, you can contact Sister Laura. But we're happy to, you know, help you and let you know that we understand we're not here to bring anyone down. We want to lift people up. But I think people do need to talk about this more and get it out and rebuke Satan in Yeshua's name, because it's spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle. Rebuke him right now and let him have no part of that. And praise Yah that we can do that. And there's a lot of good material out there, a lot of good information. And get that book, Every Man's Battle. And there's a lot of other good information out there and stuff. So is there anything you want to say before we end?
No, I think it's just, I mean, I do agree with what you said. I think it's very important to speak about it and even admit it. So many people go through struggles and lusts or whatever you want to call them, and they sort of deny it, hoping that maybe it will go away by itself. But I think it's very important to speak about it, admit it, pray, maybe even fast about it. So yeah, I think it's very important, and I think it's something that does need to be done. And if any of you guys do need help or want to speak to someone, we're always here.
Thank you. And I do know the enemy wants to split marriages up. He wants to destroy families and so on. And I think men and women need to understand how Satan works and lust. And ladies, if a man's struggling with this topic and you're his wife, I'm not asking you to understand it, but I'm asking you to just understand Yeshua and mercy and just... and pray for him and with him. And men, if your wives are struggling with certain issues, whether they're lusting over something else or even in with flirting or attention getting or something like this, you definitely need to be praying. But this is something that would be helpful if you can feel comfortable discussing it with one another. Because, you know, the first thing it should be you discussing it with Yahweh in prayer. You should feel comfortable with that. But you and your wife are one, right? So you should feel just as comfortable discussing everything with your spouse. And if you feel uncomfortable discussing something with your spouse, then you need to question, you know, something's not right here. Because Yahweh didn't create it to be that way. So that's another thing to consider. So anyway, that is this topic. Until then, everybody, have a blessed day. Yahweh be with you, and shalom, shalom. Shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
There's a war inside that wants to steal our lives. It's fighting for our souls, wants to take control, whispering those lies. I gotta fix my eyes.